This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. In the name of the three who are love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three who are over my head, the three who are under my tread, the three who are over me here, the three who are over me there, the three who in heaven do dwell, the three in the great ocean swell, pervading three, O be with me. Amen. Good morning. Happy Trinity Sunday. Thank you. I appreciate that. And hopefully by the time I'm done, you will too. In honor of Trinity Sunday, I am going to ask you something, to do something that you've probably never done and probably will never want to do again. But if you will take out the prayer book, please, and turn to page 864. On page 864, towards the bottom, you will see the Quicunque Vult, commonly called the Creed of St. Athanasius. As it is Trinity Sunday, and this is the ultimate statement of what the Trinity is and is not, I'm going to invite you to recite it with me together. Whoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith, which faith except everyone to keep whole and undefiled, without doubt he shall perish everlastingly. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. As also there are not three incomprehensibles, nor three uncreated, but one uncreated, and one incomprehensible. So likewise, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty. And yet they are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they are not three gods, but one God. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son Lord, and the Holy Ghost Lord. And yet not three lords, but one Lord. For like as we are compelled by the Christian verity to acknowledge every person by himself to be both God and Lord, so are we forbidden by the Catholic religion to say there be three gods or three lords. The Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is afore or after other, none is greater or less than another, but the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal. So that in all things, as is aforesaid, the unity in Trinity and the Trinity in unity is to be worshipped. He therefore that will be saved must thus think of the Trinity. Furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe rightly the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, For the right faith is that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God and man, God of the substance of the Father, begotten before the worlds, and man of the substance of his mother, born in the world, perfect God and perfect man, of a reasonable soul and human flesh subsisting, equal to the Father as touching his Godhead, and inferior to the Father as touching his manhood, who although he be God and man, yet he is not two but one Christ, one not by conversion of the Godhead into flesh, but by taking of the manhood into God, one altogether not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the reasonable soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He sitteth on the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. At his coming all men shall rise again with their bodies and shall give account for their own works. And they that have done good shall go into life everlasting, and they that have done evil into everlasting fire. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe faithfully, he cannot be saved. Any questions? Well, the very Reverend Dr. William Stomsky got his diploma the other day, so I thought we should do something intellectual. And as some wag said, you just wanted to see, since it's a Memorial Day service, if more people would die during the service. That was written when the church in its early days was really struggling with understanding what this Trinity and Incarnation was all about. And so Athanasius in those days is trying to be so precise. And yet, when we're finished, it's like, I'm more confused than when we started. And yet, this Trinity is such an important concept for us. An important thing for us to try to get in touch with in some way. And I think there is a lot that we can gain in our understanding of our spiritual journey through it. You know, we have had so many ways through history we've tried to look at this. We look at a single female lady who could be a grandmother, a wife, and a daughter. And there's three sort of persons, but there's really one person. And people use that as an explanation. Or perhaps the three forms of water that can be steam, that can be ice, or can be liquid. Or the famous one with St. Patrick, with the shamrock. There are three leaves, but only one shamrock. And they all fall short, but in some sense, they sort of try to get us in touch with that. One of our 20-something this past week said, "What's the big deal about the Trinity? I got an iPhone. It's my telephone, it's my internet, and it's my texting all in one." Well, if that works for you, great. I like the way the Celts look upon this because I think it gets us more in touch with what it really means. You know, in the prayer that I open with, coming from our Lindisfarne community of Northumbria, and the Celts talk about the Trinity as God above us, as Mother and Father, God amongst us as Jesus, and God within us as the Holy Spirit. Or even better, as the prayer said, God beneath us. I like that idea. I want some firm ground to walk on. It's nice that God might be down there too. But the whole idea is this. God is everywhere. The idea that there is no place I can go in my life, nothing that can happen to me, that God cannot touch, because God in some way is already there. Now, to me, that has a lot more meaning than the Athanasian Creed. I heard a story I want to share with you that helps bring this home. There is a rabbi and a soap salesman walking and having a talk. And the soap salesman is a skeptic and a cynic. And he says to the rabbi, "Rabbi, what good is religion? After all these centuries of religion, there is still so much evil and bad in the world. What good does it do?" And the rabbi says, "Nothing." They continue to walk down the street. And as they're walking through the village, they observe this child playing in the mud. And the child is just filthy. And the rabbi says to the soap salesman, "What good is soap? After all the soap that's in the world, look at this filthy child." And the soap salesman says, "Well, you got to use the soap." And the rabbi says, "So with religion, you got to use it or it's no good." This concept of the Trinity, it doesn't mean anything unless we put it into practice in our lives. We get an incredible insight into how perhaps we are called to do that through that wonderful reading we heard today from St. Paul. Paul says that we have been given access through Jesus. There are no barriers anymore. Remember when Bishop Friday was here and he talked about God in a box, because in the ark they had God in a box. And if you've been doing the Bible challenge, you know they had all these restrictions about access to the box. If you even looked in the box, you should die. Later on in the temple, they had this separation that even the priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. There was this separation. Limited access to God. Paul is saying that now, in the beauty of the Trinity with the Holy Spirit given to us, we can access God at any place, at any time, because God is already there. And he gives us this great progression of thought. He says we have suffering in our lives, and we experience suffering in our lives. But suffering can bring up and build up endurance. And endurance over time can build up character. And character can build up our hope because of the grace that's been poured into us through Jesus. What an incredible progression. The problem is this: we get stuck over here. And we just see the suffering and we say, "God, why are you doing this to me?" Whereas God really didn't cause it, but God can use it to bring us to endurance like he did with Paul, to bring us to character like he did with Paul, and eventually as well to hope. It's just that God has a vision we do not, that he's going to bring us from there to here. I love the analogy of dimensions when we look at the Trinity, that God has this additional dimension that we cannot experience. So, to sort of illustrate this, if you put up the first slide, say, for example, we have four periods of suffering in my life, and they're represented by those four bars. And that's all I see is suffering. But because I cannot see it from God's dimension. But God has an additional dimension, and God can see what we cannot see. And if we start to raise these bars, we get to see what it actually has to say to us. God can already see the hope in our suffering. I don't know about you, but when I read that Athanasian Creed, I do want to die in the service because it's boring. But when I think about the Trinity in this way, I get excited. And I think about what my spiritual director used to tell to me, "Marty, if you really believe in this presence of God everywhere, before your feet hit the ground from your bed in the morning, your prayer will be, 'God, I have no idea what the world has in store for me today, but knowing that you're going to be there and are already there, bring it on, because I'm ready. That's the gift of the Trinity. May we celebrate it every day with every blessing in our lives. Amen.